special meeting of the Housing Stability Council for April 6th to order. And could we begin with a roll call, please?
Thank you. Councilmember Farrell.
Present.
Chair Hall.
Here.
Councilmember Jameson.
Here.
Councilmember Lee.
Here.
And Councilmember Wilhoit.
Here.
Thank you.
With 5 of 8 members present, the quorum does exist, and we only have one agenda item, approval of transactions brought to us by the Affordable Rental Housing Development. Director Julie Cody, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair Hall and Housing Council members. We are looking at 3 transactions today. We'll be as brief as possible. These items were in your packet for the meeting on Friday. We will start with Sunshine Apartments with Tyler Young.
Good afternoon, council members and Chair Hall. My name is Tyler Young. I am a production analyst for the Development Resources and Production section. I'm here to present Sunshine Park Apartments, sponsored by Wish Camper Development Partners for funding consideration. This is a new construction project located in Roseburg. It will consist of 6 buildings with 144 units, comprised of 24 1-bedrooms, 84 2-bedrooms, and 36 3-bedroom units. The target populations are families and individuals at or below 60% AMI. This project will help promote 3 priorities in the statewide housing plan, which are equity and racial justice, affordable rental housing, and rural communities. Thank you for your time, and I'm happy to discuss any questions.
Any questions from council members?
I just have one quick one. Thanks, Tyler. And this relates to everything we're talking about in the construction world now because of social circumstances and cost. I think things cost more now because of everything going on. And I saw a reference to contingency. And I think we're taking the firm position that we're doing what we need to do as an organization to produce and maintain affordable housing. I like the statistics. I won't get into Councilmember Lee's territory, but we know statistics tell us things after the fact. How do we change it up front? And I know Julie and you and your team are already looking at that. What kind of contingency percentages are being built into projects? Because I saw a statement that said adequate contingency has been considered, and I just don't know. I don't have a good sense, Julie. If we looked over the last 5 years, the contingency was X percent of the total. Now it's X plus percent. Is that really what we're looking at? Any idea, just generally?
Casey, you want to?
Yeah, I can take that one. The IRS guidelines for a new construction project is 5% of the construction costs. With acquisition rehabs, they allow a 10% because there are oftentimes unforeseen issues as they're during the demolition process. But we also look along with the stated contingencies of cash developer fee. That's often times used to cover any potential cost overruns.
So we're what happens is it's totally unpredictable, but we feel like we're taking reasonable positions on that because
yes, yeah, we encourage all of our developers to maximize that 5% contingency allowance.
Okay.
And Charles, to get to a different point, so we are at closing here pretty much. We're right up against closing. So they have their construction bids and their construction contracts. Okay. Signed already. So the contingency is really going to be something unforeseen.
Okay.
Not going to necessarily be for materials and things of that nature, though we are watching the fact that lumber and electrical are going through the roof right now.
Yeah.
And as we get applications in, we not only have contingency, but we have them build in escalators for costs over however many years they think, you know, because it can take up to 36 months to get under way. So there are additional cushions in place in our applications.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Councilmember Lee has her hand up.
Thank you, Chair Hall. Thank you for the presentation. And again, this is not, I realize where we at in the process. So this is not commentary to go back and do something. This is commentary that says, as we move forward, I want us to keep these things in mind. And I think it's true for all three of these projects. I want to start off by saying I can really notice the difference in what we are talking about and how we are talking about it in the MWESB section. And I think that is fully credited to both the work that the department did, our consultant, and our lead staff person, who are really, I think, upping the bar for this. So I just want to acknowledge that and appreciate that. I'm going to again say, I mean, I almost want to ask Tyler, when you said this project supports the racial justice and equity pillar of the statewide housing plan, I want to ask you how, because I cannot see that nor understand that in the briefing document that I've gotten. And again, I want to say it's great to articulate who's living in the surrounding community of the project. However, without any analysis about what that does or doesn't mean to the people who either are currently in the project or potentially will be in the project if it's new, if it's new building, it's meaningless, right? It's an exercise in sharing information that doesn't build our understanding of what are the racial justice goals and how are we working on them here. So I want to be explicit that that's not about this project, and that's not about individual staff people. That's a structural piece that I think we need to go back and take a look on as we, Julie, as we put together what the framework looks like for how these briefing papers come. And, we're talking about when do they come to us and are they on consent? And so as we're talking about this, I really want us to take into consideration the fact that we are upping our game. We are improving each and every time. And I want to be clear, I see it and appreciate it. And it's time for us to take another step forward as it relates to the racial justice and equity sessions on these reports, because I cannot honestly understand how this fits to the racial justice other than we've articulated what the community looks like. And that's just not adequate. And I know we have better. There may be information that, again, that doesn't come forward in the report, but it is a piece that I am growing more concerned that we move forward on. So that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, and Mary, I can't seem to find the documents online, and so I don't have them right in front of me. But I do want to point to one of the sections, because I did review all of these, around the furthering fair housing marketing plans. I mean, so they are partnering with people. So that's one of the places where we're talking about this is going to be new construction, where they are. Where they're going to be looking, how they're going to be doing outreach. And I believe they're partnering with some folks. So there is some additional information. I think it's kind of buried. It's a long section. And so I think we need to bring that summary up to the top and go, gives you a summary of those things.
Yeah. Everyone, I think, agrees to sign our DEI statement.
Sure,
agrees to abide by furthering fair housing. They have to.
So right, again, you're asking for that additional piece of what are you doing?
Yeah.
And how does it mean? Make sure, how do you know who is not being reached
out? If the surrounding area is predominantly white, who's getting into these units?
Yep.
How are we reaching out? I think we hear lots of times from organizations of communities of color that they get asked in to be in partnership for application and in the end feel like they don't benefit from the partnership. And I don't say that, again, this is not about this project or this analysis. I'm just saying what I've heard in terms of the process. And those are the pieces I want us to try to get about. I know people are doing due diligence and I appreciate that those things are there, but nobody can get funding from us if they don't sign the DEI agreement and they don't agree to do furthering fair housing. So again, it's sort of a piece of like, okay, you've done the minimum.
All right, well,
what does it mean?
Yeah, thank you.
Anyone else on the council wish to chime in with a question or comment? If not, I would entertain a motion on the Sunshine Apartments funding.
So moved.
Seconded.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Could we have a roll call, please?
Thank you, council members. Council member Farrell.
Approved.
Chair Hall.
Aye.
Councilmember Jameson.
Aye.
Councilmember Lee.
Yes.
Councilmember Wilhoit.
Approved.
Thank you. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Back to you, Julie.
All right, our next item is 85 Stories Group 7. This is a continuation of Home Forward's public housing portfolio that they are doing RAD conversions to out of public housing into a more Section 8 based type of subsidy. And this is the seventh group that they are doing, and I will turn it over to Christopher.
All right. Thanks, Julie. Good afternoon, council members and Chair Hall. My name is Christopher Eibling, a production analyst for the Affordable Rental Housing Division. I'm here today to present 85 Stories Group 7, sponsored by Home Forward for funding consideration. The sponsor is requesting $45,850,000 in pass-through revenue bonds. This is an acquisition rehabilitation project, which includes four of the Housing Authority's developments located in the cities of Gresham and Portland. 85 Stories Group 7 is the latest stage in Home Forward's substantial renovation initiative to provide much needed capital funding to the Housing Authority's public housing portfolio. Group 7 will rehabilitate and preserve 209 affordable housing units across the four sites. The 85 Stories Group 7 project includes the following developments. Dalkey Manor, a 9-story affordable housing development located in the historic Irvington neighborhood of Portland. It includes 115 one-bedroom apartments set aside for low-income individuals or couples who are age 65 or older or living with one or more disability. Eastwood Court, a 32-unit affordable townhome community located in the Rockwood neighborhood of Gresham. It includes 22-bedroom and 12 three-bedroom units, all set aside for low-income families. Fir Acres, a 32-unit affordable townhome community, which Home Forward additionally manages within the Rockwood neighborhood of Gresham. It includes 22-bedroom and 12 three-bedroom units, all set aside for low-income families. And finally, Stark Manor, a 30-unit affordable townhome community located in the 12-mile neighborhood of Gresham. It includes 18 two-bedroom and 12 three-bedroom units, all set aside for low-income families. Complete information is included in your packet beginning on page 12. I'm happy to discuss any questions you have on the materials presented and otherwise ask you to consider the motion before you. Thank you.
Any questions from the council on this project? Well, hearing none, I'd entertain a motion then.
I move approval.
Thank you, Charles. Thanks. And could we have a roll call, please?
Thank you, council members. Councilmember Farrell.
Yes.
Chair Hall.
Yes.
Councilmember Jameson.
Yes.
Councilmember Lee.
Yes.
And Councilmember Wilhoit.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes.
All right, Director Cody, back to you.
All right. And our third and final project is CCC West Wind Departments. This is a project with Central City Concern, and I'll turn it over to Joanne.
Hey, good afternoon, council members and Chair Hall. My name is Joanne Sheehy, production analyst for the Affordable Rental Housing Division. I am requesting funding consideration to support the construction of CCC Westwind Apartments located in the Old Town section of Northwest Portland and sponsored by Central City Concern. The project is being supported by construction financing, capital funds from PHB, project-based vouchers for 70 of the 100 units, as well as annual operating service funding for the 70 PSH units. Given the high number of permanent supportive housing units, CCC will be providing the intensive case management and support needed for these tenants. The property is also located near other Central City services and clinics, such as Old Town Health Clinic, Old Town Recovery Center, Hooper Detox, among others. They are partnering with the Native American Rehabilitation Association to provide outreach and services to communities of color in various subpopulations and cultures. And the 100% units will be restricted at 60% MFI. So I am asking for the Housing Stability Council to consider the recommendation and motion put forth for the sale of the tax exempt, for the tax exempt bond sale of $16 million. Do you guys have any questions?
Council, any questions?
I don't have any questions, Chair Hall, but I will say that Central City Concern is a very solid partner in the community. They do some very important and challenging work. So happy to see them in the mix always.
Me too. I've toured a couple of their facilities. Very impressed with all they've accomplished through the years. Any other council input? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion, please.
I move approval.
Thanks, Charles. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you, Mary. Let's have a roll call then, please.
Thank you, council members. Councilmember Farrell.
Yes.
Chair Hall?
Yes.
Councilmember Jamison?
Yes.
Councilmember Lee?
Yes.
Councilmember Hoyhoit?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much. So is there any more business to come before the council at this time?
I just wanted to make sure that I introduce Christopher Eibling to everybody. This was his first presentation to the council, so it was a little different than our normal course
of business. A little different. Yeah, thank you, everyone.
But I was a little worried. I thought he was a crasher. I was like, who's that guy?
Julie found him for him, so he must be okay. Well, welcome and glad to have you with us. And
thank you very much.
Looking forward to seeing you at our regular monthly meetings as well.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Anything else before we adjourn?
Just stay on and pick on Julie Cody a little since you picked up. No, I don't have anything else.
All right. Then I will declare this. Yes.
I noticed that one of our former members, Mr. Val Valfrey, is also on this call. So I just want to take a moment to take a shout out to Val and say, we love you. We miss you.
Yep.
Oh, Val has his hand raised. So Val, please, the floor is yours.
That was my mistake. I just appreciate seeing all of you and what a wonderful group. Great job you're all doing. Thank you.
Yeah, good to hear from
well,
you.
I'm glad you made that mistake, Val, because it's always a pleasure to hear your voice.
Yeah.
All right, anything else, folks? Going once, going twice, going three times. We are adjourned, and thank you.
Thank you, council members.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.